There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass,
or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
And welcome once more to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror.
Oh, no.
Come in. I was just washing the Batmobile, trying to remove some of the stains. Blood stains, huh? Yes, I just finished replacing a flat tire, too. I normally avoid running over bottles, but this fella had it hidden under his coat, huh?
Oh, really?
Yes, the gent had been bar hopping until I raised the roll bar, huh? Yes, like I always say, give it an inch and it'll take a foot or two, huh?
Oh, really?
Guess who I ran into the other night? I tried, but he was too bashed up to recognize, huh? So now I've installed a special net to catch whatever parts the razor bumper decapitates. It's right where the head lights, huh?
Oh, really?
It must be pretty conspicuous, though, because I got stopped by an officer who wanted to look under the hood. Executioner's head, huh?
Oh, really?
He had a good sense of humor, though, really. He only gave me a ticket for failure to arrive alive, huh? Well, let's get the show on the road, shall we? Tonight will be a weird circus Markheim, as well as the Green Thing from 2000 Plus. But first, it's a shadow with aboard the steamship Amazon So Scary!
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Shadow's latest adventure will be on the air in just a moment. Don't miss any of it, because it's a thriller from the word go. And if you drive a car, don't miss this. It's the biggest news of the year for motorists. It's the inside story of the safest thing on wheels, the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown tire. This remarkable tire brings you something entirely new in tire safety, the Life Saver Tread. Developed after 2 years of exhaustive research, after grueling tests of tread designs by the hundred, this amazing lifesaver tread stops you quicker and safer on wet, slippery roads than you've ever stopped before. Its never-ending spiral bars, like a battery of windshield wipers, sweep water from under the tire, force it out through special deep drainage grooves, make a dry track for the rubber to grip. Thus, it protects you against skids in all directions, overcomes the hazard zone of motoring. Take my word for it, you'll never know what the word stop really means until you felt the grip of the Silvertown Lifesaver tread on a wet, treacherous road. And that's not all. Silvertowns are the only tires in the world that give you golden ply blowout protection. And think of it. You get both of these priceless safety features, skid protection and blowout protection, at no extra cost. Tomorrow isn't a bit too soon to start riding on Goodrich, spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H. Goodrich, safety Silvertown. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, aboard the steamship Amazon.
Randy! Randolph Todd!
Come on over, Randy!
Join the party!
Hi, children! What's the celebration for?
Jane's been lucky. She's in the money. She gets right on the ship's run for the day.
Yeah, come on and join us. Can't let Jane take all that cash you wanted to Rickawanna when we dock tomorrow.
Don't mind me. I just supply the money. What'll it be, Randy?
Oh, nothing now, thanks. I'm looking for my stepmother. Anybody seen her?
Oh, sure. She's over there with Dr. DeVista.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
See you later. Oh, say, we're going for a swim in the deck pool. Want to come along?
Oh, not this afternoon. Thanks.
Oh, I don't think you like us.
Hey, it'd be a lot of fun, though, wouldn't it?
Hello, Mother. Afternoon, DeVista.
Oh, sit down, Randall.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mother. Well, tomorrow we'll be in Rickawanna. And from there on, it's going to be one great big party.
Lower your voice, my son.
Oh, no one can hear us in this corner. Time for the hush-hush is almost over.
Well, it will be short.
Well, I hope your little revolution is half as much fun as smuggling those munitions out of the United States has been.
It will be more exciting, I assure you.
And when the revolution is successful, you will be a hero, Todd. My countrymen will never forget what you have done for them.
Well, just as long as it's fun, I don't mind putting up the money.
But you will make a fortune also. The people of my blood will show their gratitude in practical ways.
You know, the more I think of it, the funnier it gets. The luxurious steamer Amazon on a pleasure cruise, with enough ammunition and guns down in its hold to overthrow three governments.
Shh, be careful, Tom.
Oh, don't worry. Nobody knows about those boxes marked electric refrigerators.
No one but us and Tang Sui.
Yes. Your Japanese valet is more practical than you thought. He is interested in the money he is going to make.
Sure. Well, Mother, tomorrow should be a great day for you.
Yes. To rule the land I was driven out of, an exile.
Ah, yes, Maria. The general has promised you great power.
Master.
What is it now, Tang Sui?
Message. Come to stateroom. I bring it.
A message.
It is a radiogram.
Well, let's have it, Tang Sui.
Here, Master.
Well, that's all, Tang Sui. Oh, blazes. It's in code.
Code? Then it's from...
Headquarters, yes. From the general.
Oh, it may be important. You'd better decode it right away, my son.
Sure. Here.
No, not here, Tom.
Well, hardly. I'm not a complete fool, Doctor. Anyway, the code book's in my cabin. I'll meet you at dinner time.
Your stepson. He thinks this is all a lark. He does not count the danger.
Randolph, he is a fool.
But he will not be quite so gay if an accident happens, if he is stood against a wall and shot.
That would be unfortunate, Dr. DeVita.
Yes, for him. But if he were... you would come into all his money. Have you forgotten that?
No, my friend. I have not forgotten that.
Nice swim, Margot?
Fine, Lamont.
Enjoy me in a walk on deck.
I'd love to.
I don't see young Todd doing his famous jackknife with debutante.
Now, Lamont, Randy's a nice boy. Uh-huh. I've known him for years. A little too much money, but that's all.
And he travels around with a strange crew. His stepmother looks rather formidable.
Stop making deductions. You're on vacation.
Speak the devil. Hello, Todd.
Oh, hello. Hello, Margot.
Randy! What's the matter with him?
Oh, very polite, was he?
I never saw him act like that before. He was like a man in a daze.
He did look worried. He had bad news.
Bad news?
Yes, didn't you notice? He had a radiogram in his hand, stuck in his pocket, and he saw it coming.
Well, he certainly shot out of his stateroom in a hurry.
Yes, and he wasn't really going anyplace. He stopped and standing there by the rail.
All by himself. That isn't like Randy either.
Margot, perhaps he needs help. Why not talk to him?
We wouldn't talk in front of you, Lamont.
All right, you go alone. I'll duck.
And if he does need help?
Maybe we can supply it. See you later.
All right, I'll go over and talk to him. Nice day, isn't it, Randy?
Huh? Oh, hello, Margot.
Randy, what's the matter with you?
Well, I'm in kind of a jam, Margot, but don't you worry.
What sort of a jam?
Oh, it's the worst darn mess I...
Suppose you tell me the whole story.
I can't do that.
Of course you can.
No. I'm an awful coward, Margot.
Coward? Nonsense. What is it to be afraid of?
Oh, nothing.
Randy, I believe you are frightened. Are you in danger?
Margot, what would you do if... No, I can't tell anyone.
Tell them what?
Oh, please, leave me alone, Margot.
Randy.
Stop pestering me, will you? I can't stand it.
Randy, come back here. Randy! Shadow.
Yes, Margot.
You heard everything?
Yes, I was here beside you. Randolph Todd must have some cause for his fear. I think I must talk to that young man. Talk to him soon. As the Shadow...
Dr. DeVista, have you seen Randolph?
No, Maria.
I thought surely he'd be here dancing.
No, he did not even come to dinner. Frank Sui is looking for him.
DeVista, there is something wrong. Let's go to the boys' cut. Come.
Here is Tang Sui now.
Tang Sui, my stepson.
My master has gone back to his stateroom.
Good.
He is worried. He walks up and down, up and down.
We must see about this. Please come, both of you.
That radiogram, Maria. Perhaps that is what upset him.
Here is the cabin, mistress.
Open the door.
Hello? Oh, is it you?
Yes, Todd. It is, sir.
Shut the door, Tang Sui.
Yes, mistress.
Well?
We thought you were coming to the dance.
Oh, I changed my mind.
Something butter, master, maybe.
No, I'm all right.
Randolph, stop handling that old dagger and look at me.
I'm interested in this knife. It's an ancient...
ancient Indian knife, we know all that.
Randolph, we want to know why you are acting like this.
What did the general say in his radiogram?
The radiogram?
Yes. What was the message?
Well, nothing important. Just good wishes.
Really? May I see the message?
No, I tore it up and threw it overboard.
You destroyed it?
Yes, it wasn't important.
That message was from the general. We had a right to see it.
I'm sorry, I just didn't think.
Randolph.
What difference does it make? What are you all staring at me for?
Me think master lie.
Sui is right, Randolph. You're lying.
I said I threw the message overboard.
You're a poor liar, Randolph. Give me that paper.
I tell you, I...
Grab him.
Oh, no, look out, he's got the knife.
Hold him, Tang Sui.
Tang Sui, hold him. Master, drop a knife.
Let me go. Twist his arm, Tang Sui.
I twist the... Drop a knife.
Stop.
Drop the knife, you fool. Tang Sui's jiu-jitsu will tear your arm off. Good. Go through his pockets, yes. Mister. I'll pick up the knife.
Hold him, Tang Sui.
No worry, Tang Sui, handle.
This won't catch anywhere.
Find the radio message, Doctor, and the code book.
Ah, here it is. In the book. And a decoded copy.
Read it.
Entire plan discovered by government. Blow up ammunition to prevent capture.
Master, lie.
Well, what if I did? You can't take that message seriously.
It is an order.
It's insane. Think of all the people on this boat. I won't do a thing like that. If you set off the ammunition, they'd all be killed.
What is that to us, fool?
We follow the general.
Listen, this isn't what I joined. This is mass murder. Innocent people. I didn't mind fighting in your penny-ante war, but this...
You are a traitor to your people.
Your people, stepmother. Not mine. The passengers on this boat are my countrymen. I won't let you slaughter them. I'll show up the whole scheme.
You dare?
Well, watch me. Either you call the whole thing off, or I go to the captain.
No, master.
You can't hold me forever, Tang Sui.
So, you would betray us. Rikaguana, this is the fate of traitors.
Mother, put down that knife.
The knife. It is for the traitor's heart.
Maria! You threw the knife.
Let him fall, Tang Sui.
Mistress, throw well. He is dead.
But, Maria... Sophia, this is murder.
Do not be a fool, Davista. We had to silence him.
You cannot hide a murder.
It is not murder. The knife is Randolph's. His grip alone is on the handle. I threw it by the blade. My poor, distracted stepson killed himself.
Suicide?
Mistress is very wise.
Yes. We shall say when they ask questions that we three left him alone and went to dinner. Later, in the dark, we shall carry out the general's command.
Explode the...
Yes, my dear doctor. Blow up the ship.
Oh, hello, Margot. Hello, Mr. Cranston. This is Randy's cabin. He promised to throw a party. It's his last night on board, and he's walked out on us.
Doesn't answer?
No, and I'll bet he's sound asleep in there. Randy, you lubber, let us in.
I don't hear anyone inside. Oh, steward, come here a moment.
Yes, sir. What is that?
Do you know if Mr. Todd's in his cabin?
He was till the last I knew. His valet said Todd didn't wish to be disturbed.
There, what did I tell you? I'm going to keep on knocking till he pays some attention.
Oh, just a minute, Jane. Mr. Cranston has an idea.
Steward, have a pass key? Suppose you open the door for us.
Well, now, sir, I don't know that...
Of course you will. Mr. Todd's playing a joke on the young lady, and we mustn't let him. No one will know. You let us in. Come on.
Oh, thank you, sir. Of course, if it's all in fun, sir.
It's dark. Randy, where are you?
The light switch is by the door, sir.
Oh, yes. There we are.
Lamont, he isn't here.
Oh, yes, he is, sir. Look, he's lying on the floor.
Yes,
oh.
Come on, Randy, wake up.
Oh! Lamont, that knife in his breast.
Yes. Is he?
Randy Todd is dead.
Oh, my poor, poor Randolph.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Todd. Stepson appears to have committed suicide.
You're sure, Captain McTeague?
Yes, I'm sure, Mr. Cranston.
There should be some reason for suicide, Captain.
I am afraid our young friend was bored with life. He was ill and depressed when we left him before dinner.
Exactly, Dr. DeVista. I had the ship's doctor check the fingerprints on that knife. They all belong to the dead man. No one else had touched it.
If only he had come to me.
You must not reproach yourself, Marie.
Captain...
Yes, Mr. Cranston?
I met young Todd this afternoon. He seemed worried about something.
Yes, I, too, noticed that he was troubled.
The question is, Dr. DeVista, what was he worried about?
Who knows? He was a moody youth.
Yes, poor boy. We'll never know his reason.
Captain, Todd had a radiogram this afternoon. It's missing now.
Randolph received many messages, Captain McTeague, concerning the estate.
Did he show you this one, Mrs. Todd?
I never interfered with his affairs.
We're wasting time, Cranston.
I think not, Captain. This message may have been important. Tang Sui, did you see it?
Tang Sui, no, nothing.
I'll ask the questions, Cranston.
Very well.
You might ask Mr. Cranston how he knows the radiogram is missing.
Yes, how about that, Cranston?
Todd was wearing the same suit when I found him, so I looked for it.
You mean you searched the body?
Yes, the steward was here as a witness.
Well, I must say you've got your nerve, Cranston.
Perhaps, but suicide with a knife isn't very common, Captain.
Now, look here, Cranston. It's bad enough to have a suicide on board without you trying to twist it into something worse.
No one saw young Todd after his three traveling companions left him.
I resent that.
Captain McTeague, this is outrageous. Must we be badgered by this young man? I can't stand his manner.
I still say...
That's enough from you, Cranston.
I'm merely trying.
I've had more than enough of your impudence. Adams, yes, Captain, take this Mr. Cranston to his stateroom and lock him up.
Lock me up?
Yes, I am holding you as a material witness.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And Adams.
Yes, sir.
Put a man on the deck outside Cranston's cabin window. He's to stay in his room.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mr. Cranston.
Coming. I'll see you again, Captain, very soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting for the Shadow's hair-raising story to reach a thrilling climax, let me say something about a new kind of rainy day driving safety that may save your life. Because who knows...
The Shadow knows. When there's wet, slippery film on the highways, there's always the grim uncertainty that your car may start sliding, swerving, spinning off the road. Why gamble with fate?
Yes, motorists, and why gamble on tires when the new Goodrich Silvertown, with its lifesaver tread, offers you such marvelous skid protection? And marvelous is the word for it. Because exhaustive road tests of the regular and premium priced tires of America's six largest tire manufacturers prove that the new Goodrich Silvertown gave greater skid protection than any of the other tires tested. And don't forget, motorists, those grueling road tests weren't made by Goodrich. They were conducted by absolutely impartial engineers from America's largest independent testing laboratory, the Pittsburgh Testing Laboratory. What's more, some of the tires the new Silvertown was tested against have list prices as much as 40 to 70% more. When you consider that, then the fact that this new Goodrich Silvertown gave greater skid resistance than any tire tested is even more remarkable. Remember, when you buy Silvertowns, you get Lifesaver Tread skid protection plus Golden Ply blowout protection. Two exclusive Goodrich features at no extra cost.
Here. This go in that bag, Stuart.
I write you off.
Think that is all.
Smart idea, Mr. Tanksuri, packing ahead of time. Most people leave at the last minute.
Boat docks tomorrow.
Right you are, early in the morning. That was terrible, your boss, Mr. Todd, killing himself.
Most tragic. Tanksuri, very fond of young master.
Yes, very tough break. I'll answer it. That's funny.
Funny? What is?
There's nobody at the door.
No one?
The passage is empty.
Never mind, steward. You can go.
Right you are.
Shut door, please. Steward, I said go. Who laughed?
I did, Tanksuri.
You? Where are you? I cannot see you.
I am here beside you, Tanksuri.
Only voice?
Yes, Tanksuri. The shadow is a voice. Asking for the truth. The truth about Randolph Todd's death.
Tanksuri know nothing.
Tanksuri lies. The shadow knows. Where is the radiogram your young master got this afternoon?
I not know.
You are a wicked servant, Tanksuri. Where is the radiogram?
I did nothing, nothing.
Where is it?
Here in pocket.
Put it on the table.
Yes, shadow.
Why was it taken? What does it say?
I give it to you. Now, go away, please.
No, Tanksuri, not until I know the truth. Randolph Todd murdered.
Go away, please go away, Tang Sui. Nothing.
Tang Sui, get away from that
no,
door.
No, leave me alone. I run.
This is nonsense, Tang Sui.
Such a wild story.
No, true. Tang Sui talk with shadow. No, man. Just a shadow.
I don't believe it.
It's true, Mr. Shadow. Take a radiogram from Tang Sui.
The radiogram? You gave it to him?
You cow.
Cannot fight shadow. Cannot see.
Fool. There is the answer to not seeing him. He hid in the fog.
No fog in Tang Sui's cabin.
Well, we won't mind the fog a little later tonight. Doctor, you'd better shut the window. Look at the way the curtains are blowing in.
That's funny. There has not been a breath of air all night.
But the curtains were blowing just for a moment.
This shadow, he may prove an obstacle.
How? He cannot know our plans or what is in the hold of the ship. Now listen, we are only about 10 miles off the Ricaguana coast.
In a section friendly to the revolution.
Yes, in the fog we can easily lower a boat and slip away.
But this is a shadow.
You and your ghost stories, Tang Sui. He cannot do anything.
He has radio message.
Only the copy in code. I destroyed the decoded copy. How can he read the message without the code book?
And you have the code book safe, Tavista?
Of course, I have it on me.
Look in your pocket, Tavista.
Huh?
What's that? Who spoke? Shadow, he's here.
Yes, my friend. The shadow is here.
Maria, the code book. It is not in my pocket.
It is gone.
From
you, DeVista. I took it. Now I can read the message that caused one of you to murder Randolph Todd.
Maria, if he reads that message...
First, he must decode it. By that time, he will be too late. Come, we act at once.
Half speed ahead. Half speed it is, Captain.
Very good, Mr. Pearson. Keep her on the course and keep sounding that whistle.
Yes, sir. What night, sir?
Aye, blasted fog. Watch she doesn't get any closer to shore. There are shoals in there.
Aye, aye, sir.
Captain McTeague.
Aye. What was that?
I am here, Captain McTeague. behind you.
Where? Get off the bridge. There are no passengers allowed up here.
Your ship is in danger, Captain.
Listen, whoever you are, get off the bridge. There's no danger. I've brought the Amazon through many a fog.
The danger isn't the fog, Captain. It's below decks.
Below? Say, come out into the light so I can get a good look at you.
You cannot see me, Captain, but you must believe me. There are explosives in the hold.
You must be crazy.
There are munitions. Disguise. They're bound for revolutionaries in Ricaguana. There's a plan to blow them up.
Say, who are you?
They call me the Shadow, Captain. Believe me, you must go below before it is too late. Randolph Todd knew about the munitions, too. That's why he was murdered.
Murdered?
If you don't believe that, Captain, at least go down into the hold. Go now, and you will learn.
Mr. Pearson.
Yes, sir.
Take over. I'm going below. I want two men, armed.
Yes, sir.
Get the top off that box.
Yes, Maria. Tansui, hand me that hatchet.
Yes, sir, here.
This one has the fuses.
Quickly, start tying one up to the powder. If one box blows up, they'll all go.
Yes, and the ship with them.
What is this?
Someone come.
What?
Tansui, quick, switch out the light.
Yes, sir, good. Now, Tansui, stay by the switch box. Don't turn them on till I give the word.
Yes, mister.
Quiet, quiet.
Black as pitch in here. Got your flash, Peters?
Yes, Captain.
Find the light switch.
Right.
If you ask me, this is the craziest...
No tongue free.
Say, who turned on those lights?
Do not move, Captain.
Got a gun, sir.
So I see.
So is the woman.
And I am a good shot, sailor. Keep your hands up.
Mr. Todd and... Mrs. Todd and Dr. DeVista. Say, what are you doing down here?
Good evening, Captain.
And young Todd's Violet, too. Put down those guns. What the devil do you mean
you
by...
You do not command now, Captain.
That's mutiny.
Throw your guns on the floor, gentlemen.
I'll be...
You'll be dead if you don't.
Throw guns.
What do you say, Captain?
Go ahead, boys. Not much we can do now. There's my gun.
The others, please, quickly. Line up facing the wall, gentlemen. Keep those hands up, Captain.
You don't expect to get away with this.
But we do. We will. There will be a certain loud noise, and you... Well, never mind. Tansui.
Yes, missus.
You will shoot the first man who turns around.
Yes.
Come, Dr. DeVista. We must hurry. Bring the hatchet with you.
Yes, I am coming.
You. What's your name? Tansui. What does she mean by a loud noise? Are there explosives in this hold?
Captain, no talk.
If anything happens to this
One more word and Captain die.
I think not, Tansui.
Shadow! Let go! My arm!
Drop the gun, Tansui.
The man who calls himself a Shadow's got him.
Softly, Captain. Let's get the others.
I've got his gun, sir.
Oh, let me go, Shadow. Let me go.
All right, Captain, rush the others. They're laying a fuse.
A fuse? Grab your guns, men. Come on.
Let go, Shadow. Tansui, do nothing.
No, you don't like your jujitsu when it's practiced on you. Come on, the others.
Drop your hands. Drop them, man. Pull on them. Now, easy, lady. We got you.
So, Shadow, this is your doing.
No, Mrs. Todd, yours. The Shadow merely helps the cause of justice.
Say, hey, these are munitions, all right. Look at that. Powder. High explosive shells. Enough to blow the ship right out of the water.
That was their idea, Captain.
Well, I hope you three are satisfied. Smuggling, piracy, assault with a deadly weapon, sabotage. You'll spend the rest of your lives behind bars.
No, Captain, not all three. Tansui will die for the murder of his master, Randolph Todd.
No, I did not.
You will hang, Tansui.
I tell you truth, Shadow.
Don't you, fool.
Be quiet.
The truth, Tansui.
Missy Todd, Missy Todd, one time, soccer's lady, she throw knife by blade.
You little traitor.
Look out!
She grabbed the hatchet, sir, and threw it.
We had to shoot, sir.
The hatchet just missed Tansui.
Oh, she bad. She murder master.
The woman is dead.
Marie.
So, Captain, Mrs. Todd paid for her crime. She killed her stepson. She planned to destroy all the people on the ship. Instead, it was she who perished.
Peters and Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Take Dr. DeVista and Tansui to the brig.
Yes, sir.
Come on, are you? Come on. Shadow, I'd like to thank you. Who are you, anyway?
Just the Shadow, Captain McTeague. I work in the shadows. Against crime.
You saved my ship. I feel the line should thank you publicly.
My power would be lost if I were known, Captain.
Well, there's a young man upstairs I owe an apology to. A lad named Cranston.
Really? Why?
Well, he sort of figured young Todd was murdered.
Mr. Cranston must be very wise. And now, Captain, I must go back into the shadows.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
That was scary, huh? Aboard the steamship Amazon, wow! Like, I've heard of cruising for a bruising, but really, huh? Too bad. Because of those refrigerators, Randy wound up on ice, huh? I guess those fridges must have been of a revolutionary design, huh? But that's what Randy gets for living life on the edge. The edge of a knife, huh? Hey, and how about that stepmother? Now, she really was a blood relative, huh? I mean, when she got mad, she got mad. She had what you'd call an explosive temper with a short fuse, huh? Lucky she didn't go out with a bang, but a whimper, huh? Really? And her valiant was anything but valiant, huh? No, seriously. I mean, he only told on his employer when he knew all was lost. He must have known he was about to get the axe, huh? Which reminds me, our next feature you really will enjoy getting your chops on. Yes, it's the Weird Circle with Markheim. So scary!
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale. Markheim.
You feel safe, don't you, Markheim? You feel safe and fat and secure, don't you, Markheim? Sitting all alone before the fireplace in your uncle's drawing room. Ah, but you're not alone, Markheim. I'm with you. With you all the time. Invert your eyes, Markheim, and look within you. Invert them if you can, and then perhaps you will see me. I love to watch you thus at rest, Markheim. Safe and fat and secure. For then you are so much my servant.
Phone.
Stir, Markheim. Stir.
just when I was relaxing so nicely.
Answer it, Markheim. Answer it.
Oh, that instrument is a minister of peace.
Arise, Markheim, and do answer the phone.
Confound it.
Get up, Markheim. Get up and answer that phone.
Hello?
Hello? Is Markheim there?
Speaking. Who's this?
Rogers.
Rogers? For heaven's sakes, man.
What's the matter?
I told you never to call me here. Suppose my uncle answered the phone.
Oh, listen, Markheim, I'm your broker, not your nursemaid.
Well, what do you want, man? Quickly. One of the servants may come back.
Your stock has dropped. I'll need money within the hour.
Stock? Rogers, look. Let's not talk about this over the phone. I'll come over right away.
You may not have time, Markheim.
Oh. How much will you need? I'll try to raise it at once.
$6,000?
So much?
You knew the hazards when you bought on margin. If I don't have the money within the hour, you will have lost everything.
Within the hour?
Within the hour.
$6,000. All right. I'll try to raise it at once. $6,000? Within the hour? Where am I going to get it?
Come now, Markheim. There is a way, you know.
Where am I going to get it?
Let me help you, Markheim.
Where am I going to get $6,000?
Let me suggest something to you, Markheim. Look around the room.
Nothing in this room is worth $6,000.
The wall, Markheim. The wall.
A portrait of my uncle. Oh, I couldn't ask him, even if I could reach him within the hour. If he ever knew I was speculating.
Not the portrait, Markheim. Behind the portrait. Behind the portrait.
Wait a minute now. There is a possibility after all.
You're in deep already, Markheim. What have you to lose?
I'm in deep already. What have I to lose?
Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Still, maybe it would be better to lose all that stock and forget about it.
Move, Markheim. Move.
Oh, why do I get into such dilemmas?
Get up, Markheim. Get up and move.
Oh, what the devil. Now if I can only lift this picture off the wall. Help me. Oh, confound it. Set it down. There. There it is. Ah, bet the old fella doesn't even guess that I know about this wall safe.
Put your fingers up to the dial, Markheim.
Or the combination, either.
Put your fingers up to the dial and twist it, Markheim.
Two to the right. All the way around and stop at 8. All the way around to the left. Past 8 and stop at 4. Ah, there it is.
Now put your hand into the safe.
Yes, there's the money. A small fortune, but I'll take just enough. 6,000 in wonderful paper money.
Draw out the money, Markheim.
I got it.
Quickly now, Markheim. Quickly. Close the door of the safe and put back the picture. That's the way, Markheim. Rush into the street and through the city.
Taxi! Taxi!
Quickly. Quickly. My taxi, swift and sure. Now into the broker's building, Markheim. Up to his office. Place the money in his hands.
Here's the 6,000, Rogers.
Oh, quick work, Markheim.
Now you may return to your uncle's home. But with leisure, Markheim. You may even walk if you wish. And you may cock your hat at a jaunty angle. For luck was with you this afternoon. And you may smile as you enter the drawing room once again.
Oh, hello, nephew.
Oh, uncle, I...
Did I surprise you, my boy?
Well, yes. You're home early, aren't you?
Yes, a little. Christmas Eve, you know. It's hard to get work on the afternoon before Christmas Eve. I thought I'd have my lunch at home and remain.
You're right, uncle. The afternoon before Christmas Eve is no time for business.
I'm glad we're of the same mind. Sit down. Sit down.
Yes, Uncle.
This room is so comfortable. Oh, I hardly have time enough to enjoy it, though.
That's true, Uncle. It's a room to relax in. I love to come here and just sit.
Well, that's because the appointments are so carefully chosen. The furniture and the rugs and the hanging, they all complement each other. Even that silly old portrait of me.
Portrait?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That portrait of you. It's not so silly, Uncle. An excellent likeness of you.
Thank you for the compliment, nephew. But I dare say you're lying. Look at it.
I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's crooked. It's slightly off-center.
Why, yes, it is. I'll fix it. Just a little push it. There it is. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. Fine, thank you. You know, that crooked portrait reminded me of something.
Huh? Do you care to tell me?
Oh, it's nothing important. It just reminded me to take the picture down one of these days.
Take it down? Why?
Well, no, nothing special. Just to dust it off a little, shall we say.
Perhaps I can help you. When are you going to take it down?
Let's see. Not today. And tomorrow is Christmas. The next day, probably. And I won't need any help, my boy. No help at all.
As you wish, sir.
Now I think I shall be going upstairs. I have a few gifts I still want to wrap.
See you later, then.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a moment. What was it I wanted to ask you about?
Ask me? I wouldn't know, Uncle.
Oh, never mind. It's probably not too important if it slipped my mind. I'll call you if I remember. I'll see you later, nephew.
Goodbye for now, sir. Good heavens. The day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow, Markheim. And you know why he's going to take that portrait down.
He's sure to examine that safe carefully. What'll I do?
Replace the money, Markheim.
Where can I get $6,000? Where can I get so much money by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
What on earth's the matter with me anyway? Each problem begets a new one. I wonder if there's any escape.
Think, Markheim. Think.
Oh, nephew.
Yes, Uncle?
It just occurred to me. I can't find my ruby stick pin. Have you borrowed it?
Why, no. I'd never borrow it without your permission.
No, I say, then I guess I must have lost it. Well, never mind. I'll speak to my insurance broker.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. One thing after another. Now, where can I get $6,000 by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
Where? Where? Where?
The ruby stickpin, Markheim. Doesn't that suggest something to you?
Now, who would have so much money?
The ruby stickpin, Markheim. Don't you remember? Don't you remember that afternoon? That afternoon you entered the dealer's shop on that side street downtown? That dirty little deserted side street? Don't you remember how quiet the place was? How all alone you both were?
Yes. So you're back, young man.
I'm sure I'm welcome. You've made a tidy penny on me.
Yes. And you should expect I would profit well.
I think you profit much too well.
Some of my customers are ignorant, and then I touch a dividend on my superior knowledge. And some of them are...
Some of them? Yes.
Well, some of them are dishonest. In that case, I profit by my virtue.
Frankly, I need no preamble to our dealings. Let's get on.
Yes, indeed, let us get on. What have you brought me now? Another curio from your uncle's cabinet?
No, not from my uncle's cabinet. I brought you this.
Sure.
And it's genuine, let me assure you.
Your assurance promises me nothing.
But it is, I tell you.
Calm yourself. I trust my own eyes. It is genuine. Ruby stickpin. Very elegantly designed.
How much will you give me for it?
$300.
Why, you fool, that's worth at least $1,000.
Does it matter whether I give you $300 or $3,000? You lose it anyway. I'd rather enrich myself than some stock speculator.
I'll not give it to you for $300.
It's you who needs the money, not I.
But $300?
I'll be generous. $400, shall we say.
Very well. Since I have no choice, I'll take the $400.
Good. Now you wait here. I'll go upstairs and fetch the money.
You remember that, don't you, Markheim? You remember his exasperating gait up those stairs, to the floor above, to the room above, to the place where he kept his money, how easy it would be.
I wonder if he has that much money up there now.
How can you doubt it?
$6,000 is a lot of money. Does he have it? Suppose he has. How could I get it? He never leaves his shop.
You know how, Markheim.
He'd be in the way. How could I get it?
You know how, Markheim. It would be so easy.
Oh, I think I'll think about it later. I'm going to the kitchen to talk to the cook a while. Get my mind off this.
Run away if you like, Markheim. You can't escape me. Go into the kitchen. I don't mind. I'm right with you, Markheim. I'm right with you.
Hello there, Mrs. Cleary.
What? Oh, you startled me, Master Markheim. I was buried in this newspaper, didn't hear you come in.
Say, what's so fascinating about that newspaper?
I have a little time before the oven heats up, so I thought I'd read about that new murder.
Murder?
Yes, terrible thing, Master Markheim. The murderer used a knife.
A knife?
I guess it must be easy to commit murder with a sharp knife. Some people would run a knife into a man's body as easily as I would into that goose I'm cooking.
I just came in for a piece of cake, Mrs. Cleary.
Cake? Oh, yes, over there. You've got to admit that sometimes it's easy to commit murder. Of course, the murderer might be caught, but it would be kind of easy, wouldn't you say? Especially with a sharp knife.
That's it, Markheim. A sharp knife. So easy. So easy. Is formulating in your mind. Isn't it, Markheim?
It should be easy. $6,000 at the stroke of a knife.
But you won't carry it out, Markheim, while you sit in your uncle's drawing room.
If I only keep my nerve, if I don't break at the last moment.
You won't break, Markheim. I'll be with you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle. What's the matter, sir?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I said, Merry Christmas.
It could be merrier, nephew. I wish you wouldn't spend your leisure time in my drawing room.
What? I won't if you don't want me to.
In fact, I forbid you to use this drawing room as your den. I forbid you to lounge here alone.
I'm sorry, Uncle. What have I done?
I don't care to discuss it now, nephew. It's Christmas Day. But I would like an hour with you tomorrow.
Of course, of course. As much time as you
want. Now, I'd like you to leave me. I have some thinking to do.
I must have done something terrible. All right. I'll leave. I'll go at once.
He knows, Markheim.
I wonder if he's looked in his safe.
He knows, Markheim. You'll have to act swiftly now.
If he's going to speak to me tomorrow, I'll have to get that money. Today. Today. Today.
Here it is, Markheim. The dealer's house. Ring the bell. Don't hesitate, Markheim. Ring it.
I can't. I can't kill him.
Your uncle knows, Markheim. Ring the bell. Ring it. Again.
Why does he delay?
Well, what is it you want?
Must you keep me out here in the cold?
I was talking on the telephone. Now, what do you want? I'm not buying anything today.
I haven't come to sell.
Have you come to wish me a Merry Christmas?
No. I've come to buy a Christmas present for a lady.
Why don't you go elsewhere?
All the other shops are closed. It was a sudden invitation to dinner, and I mustn't go empty-handed. You'll be doing me a great favor, and I'm willing to pay double.
Oh, well, come in, come in. You're an old customer, after all. And I take it you're fond of the lady.
Yes, very.
Well, far be it from me to stand in the way of a courtship.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Especially when you're willing to pay double. Now, let me see. What have I got here? How do you like this mirror? 14th century, warranted. Comes from a good collection, too.
Mirror? Get it away from my face.
Why not a mirror?
Get it away from my face, I tell you. No, not a mirror.
Perhaps you see in it a reminder of past sins and follies.
I don't like mirrors.
They say a mirror often yields a reflection of one's inner self.
Enough! Enough! Take it away, I tell you.
Very well, calm yourself. Perhaps this may suit you. This silver compact here on the shelf. I'll get it for you.
Now, Markheim, now, while his back is turned. The knife, Markheim. Swing it with your whole arm. Swiftly, swiftly, with your whole arm, Markheim.
There! I've killed him.
It is done, Markheim. It is well done.
I've killed him. I must get out of here.
Fool, where are you running?
I can't remain. They'll find me here. I'll hang. The front door. I must get out.
Stop. Do you want to destroy yourself? You cannot go out that door. Listen to what is happening on the other side of it. Listen.
Well, here's the place, Garrity.
All right, you go on in. I'll wait outside.
Now, don't be a grouch. This is Christmas Day, and we're both going to present this turkey to the old man.
He's the worst miser that ever lived. What does he know about Christmas?
That doesn't matter. You agreed to walk down here with me, and now don't go away. I'm going to knock on the door.
You see, there's no answer. Maybe he's not home.
He never leaves. I'll try again. Hello, hello in there. Are you coming out?
You're making enough noise to raise the dead.
Maybe he's asleep.
Oh, come on, let's go.
No, I think I'll wait a while. I expect he'll get up soon and walk over and open the door. You can go if you like.
Well, I guess I'll wait along with you.
Did you hear that, Markheim? He's going to wait for the old man to get up and open the door. Such a joke.
I must get out of here.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
The back door. The yard. I must get out of here. I've killed him. They'll find me and I'll hang.
Stop running away, you fool. Are you going to forget your uncle and the safe behind his portrait?
The back door. To the yard.
Stop where you are. Don't you hear those voices in the alleyway? Listen. They're saying something
on,
that
Gary,
concerns
let me
you.
Let see what you got for Christmas.
Oh, I got lots of things.
Any marbles?
Sure, Billy. A whole bag full. I got them in my pocket.
So did I. Want to play me?
Well, sure. Play you right now. Where do we play?
Well, I don't want to play in the gutter. How about the backyard?
His backyard?
Why not? Don't be scared of that old foggy. We'll keep on playing until the old man gets up and opens the door and hollers at us.
Okay, I'm game.
Did you hear that, Markheim? Till the old man opens the door and hollers at them.
I'm trapped in this house.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
I'm trapped in this house.
Stop lashing yourself, Markheim. You have done well this afternoon, and a great deal more lies ahead. Now come along. Up the stairs. Higher. And higher. And higher still, up the stairs to the landing, and through the door, Markheim. Through the door. And into this room. Here's where the old dealer keeps his money. Now look carefully. Remember, $6,000 to replace in your uncle's safe.
I must get that money. I must.
Of course you must.
It's safe up here and quiet.
So quiet, Markheim, with the door closed.
Nothing to distract my search for the money. This desk. Not there.
Perhaps behind this mirror. This full-length mirror, Markheim.
It might be behind that mirror. But I daren't look at it, except with the corner of my eye.
Why fear the mirror, Markheim? The money is right behind it. Now look at it.
I'll look behind the mirror as a last resort.
Look at it now, Markheim, with your full face.
No. No.
Look into the mirror, Markheim. Squarely into the mirror.
I should see my reflection, but I don't.
Of course not, Markheim. You see me instead.
Who are you?
I am your evil genius, Markheim.
You are the voice within my brain. You are the voice that has helped me to steal and helped me to murder. What do you want of me?
I have spent too long cultivating you as my tool, Markheim, to give you up easily. Once you trembled at the thought of theft, but I rid you of that fear. And this afternoon you reached the crisis. Murder.
Let me alone. Please. I beg of you. Let me alone. What's that? A footstep. Someone's coming up those stairs.
Hide, Markheim. Hide.
It's the dealer. It can be no one else. The dead man's coming up those stairs. If only I knew how to pray. The door. How can I hide from a dead man? Good heavens. Uncle.
Well, nephew. I expected to find you here.
Uncle, how'd you know? How'd you know?
The ruby stick pin. Yesterday evening it was missing, and I thought you had borrowed it. I went into your room to look for it and found this on your dresser instead.
The dealer's card.
Exactly. When you denied borrowing the stick pin, I telephoned him. He remembered the pin. But it was no shock, my boy. I've never really trusted you.
I have nothing to say, Uncle.
And later that evening, I examined my safe behind the portrait. $6,000 were missing.
Then when you spoke to me this morning, when you forbade me to stay in your drawing room alone, you knew.
Yes, I knew. And when you left the house this afternoon, I knew you were trying to find money to replace what you took from the safe. And where could you go for money? But to some dealer.
I see.
So I telephoned him and asked him to call me. That is, in case you should arrive. And he agreed and left the side door open.
Then that's why he kept me waiting outside. He was talking to you.
That's how it worked out. I hurried down here with a policeman. The worst I had expected was that you would be arrested for theft.
And now it's for murder.
Yes, and he's waiting for you downstairs. My nephew. Shall we go?
Yes. Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go. But please, just one more moment to my
house. I warn you, nephew, you cannot escape.
I don't intend to, Uncle.
Put that vase down. What are you doing?
I'm going to smash that mirror.
Wait, Markheim. Do not destroy me. I can help you get away.
Your power is gone. You can't stop me from doing this. Now I don't care about the scaffold, nor what lies beyond it. I've broken the mirror, and in the time that remains, I shall have peace.
Ooh, kikis! Wasn't that scary, huh? Markheim! Hey, just think, all his problems started because he placed too much stock on himself, huh? No, really. The fella didn't know when to stop. If he was poor one week, the next he went broker, huh? No wonder he had to take all his uncle's valuable possessions to be exchanged, huh? Hey, and speaking of the uncle, can you believe he turned his own nephew in to the police? I guess he wanted to be an uncle-in-law, huh? No, but the one I like best was the evil genius in the mirror, huh? The one that got his glass kicked, huh? Too bad. He offered a lot of potential. No, really. Only to have his dream shattered, though, huh? Granted, he did get Markheim in a fix now and then, but it was nothing worth getting broken up over, huh? You know, come to think of it, he probably could have gotten Markheim out of that fix. He was pretty clever. In fact, I'm willing to bet he's sharper now, I wonder what he would have suggested. Maybe to look in the mirror, see what he saw, take out the saw, cut the mirror in half, two halves make a hole, and climb out the hole, while you're reflecting on that one, we'll move on to our next feature. It's 2000 Plus with the Green Thing So Scary!
I'm a voice that no man on earth has ever heard before. I am not of this world. But no man hearing my voice knows whether I truly live or whether I am a thing of the imagination, a thing of dreams. You will hear my story in a moment on 2000 Plus. Listen.
Adventures in the world of tomorrow. Dramatic stories of science fiction from the years beyond 2000 AD. Today, the story of a horrible nightmare that wouldn't stop, even when the dreamer woke up. A story called The Green Thing. It is the year 2000 plus 175. It is late evening, and all is peaceful and quiet in Dr. Harvey Glendon's sanitarium. Outside, on a vast estate that stretches away from the main building, there are only the soft country noises, the wind sighing in the trees, the shrill chirpings of innumerable crickets. In the well-furnished rooms, the patients sleep, stretched out on comfortable mattresses and clean white sheets, the country breezes straying over their forms. In room 32B, Mr. Summers sleeps peacefully with his head on a fluffy pillow. He sleeps and he dreams.
Help me! Help me! Please!
So, in the light of the growing psychological problems facing our nation, the government has sent me to you, Dr. Glendon, to enlist your aid, since you're the country's outstanding psychiatrist.
Well, I'm honored indeed, Mr. Carlton. But I don't know that as much I can tell you about the advancement of psychiatric research that isn't being published in the medical journals.
Well, Dr. Glendon, isn't there anything that you're working on now, something definite? I know you're a cautious scholar, but...
Look, Mr. Carling, it isn't possible to announce sweeping new generalizations in our kind of science. Our work is painstaking, complex, highly subjective. You take the case of one of the patients here in the sanitarium. Oh, Betty, will you bring our records to Mr. Summers?
Oh, yes, Dr. Brennan, just one moment.
Summers is about 40, 41. He was admitted 5 months ago, suffering from a melancholia.
Here are the records, Doctor.
Oh, thanks, Betty. Now, as you can see from these notations, he's been feeling much better the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see.
Until last night, when he suddenly woke up screaming in his bed. He was being attacked, he shouted, by some sort of green devil. We had the hardest job getting him under control. Now, in the past, Somers had spoken quite often of a green hat that he lost as a child. His father, he remembered, had punished him severely for losing it. In later life...
Glendon, this is all very interesting, but you can hardly call this dream analysis anything new.
Yes, it has been known for centuries.
Well, then I don't understand...
Mr. Carling, I know why you came to see me. Apparently, I haven't been able to keep my achievement as secret as I'd hoped.
That's right, sir. We've heard rumors.
All right, Mr. Carling. I've said that Mr. Somers' dream is very unusual. Now, would you like to see it?
You mean, see his dream?
Exactly. I'm going to show you a motion picture of Mr. Somers' dream. Photographed from the subconscious mind, exactly as he dreamed it. I attach special nerve electrodes, and these electrodes pick up the current impulses of the brain. Then these impulses are transmuted back into pictures on the film of the machine. Really very similar to the method of wireless photography.
Here's Mr. Somers' dream reel, Doctor.
Oh, fine. Thank you, Eddie. The projecto tube is ready, so I just place the dream reel in it. And there. Hold on to your hat, Mr. Carling. You're going to see an actual dream.
Yes, yes, very well, Mr. Clauber. Three slices of lemon drops will do. He thinks I don't see him putting the pennies in his pocket when he knows they belong to me.
Three slices of lemon drops it is, little boy.
I'm not a little boy, Clauber, and you know it. I'm all grown up, and I don't come to your store anymore. I don't even live here anymore, and you steal pennies.
All right, get out now, little boy. Take your lemon drops and get out. Get out!
Music. I didn't know Clauber had music in his store. I don't like his music. I'll slam his door. I'll go out in the street. Now there won't be any more penny-stealing music. Oh, what's that? It won't go away. It won't go away.
Somers, I am calling you.
What's that? Is that Clauber? It's green. It's a monster with great pink eyes on long stalks. It's standing in front of me. It has claws.
You're not the little boy anymore, Somers.
No, 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 don't touch me with your claws.
Come with me now, Somers. You are mine. You belong to me.
No, no, no. You're touching me. Don't! Don't! Don't help me! Help me, please!
Betty got to him at that moment, and the dream machine shut off.
Phew, some dream. What effect will the discovery of this dream machine have on psychiatric research, Dr. Glendon?
Well, I've only just perfected it about 4 or 5 months ago. We've got perhaps 40 or 50 photographed dreams in our files.
40 or 50?
Yeah. However, as far as developing new techniques and treatment, maybe years before I can get them analyzed and correlated so that overall theories can be drawn from them.
As long as that?
So now you understand, Mr. Carling, why it's a little difficult for me to answer your questions.
That dream was fascinating. I've never seen anything like it. Doctor, I know I'm presuming on your time, but I'd like to see just one more. I'll have to report on these at the government bureau.
Well, only one more, though. I'm sorry, but I'm quite busy.
What about this one here? The purple tag. What's that for?
Well, I haven't seen that one myself yet. The purple tag means it's from the violent ward. Mr. Rolfe. Sick man. Well, we'll try it. All set.
Sense of that.
Gibberish, I'm afraid. Rolf's a difficult case. Homicidal tendencies. Comes from a good family. Was a very successful businessman.
Can you do anything for him?
Oh, I think so. There are times when he can be reached, lucid moments, and some of his dreams provide clues. Here, see?
Think of me now, 74. That'll show. 74, 70. You're not frightening me. I don't believe you. You can't scare me. Oh, no, no. Don't touch me. Your claws, your green claws. Oh, your green claws.
Doctor, look. On the screen. Look, there it is again. That green thing. No. It can't be. It's impossible. Two people can't possibly have the same dream. I don't understand it, Betty. I can't understand it. I've been through all the records of both of them, Summers and Roth. There's nothing in their background that would cause them to have the same dream. Are you sure they haven't been together at some time?
I'm positive, Doctor. They haven't even met. Mr. Roth came here only a month ago, and he was placed in the violent ward immediately. He's never been out of it.
It's possible for people to have similar dreams, yes, but never to dream of the same unusual, horrible, specific subject as that green thing. Every detail was the same. The pink eyes, the claws. Makes me shudder myself. Betty, I want our dream reels, all those I haven't seen.
Now, you're not going to view them all. It would take you...
I don't care how long it takes. I want to see them all. I've got a funny feeling inside. And I won't be at ease until I know. Until I'm sure.
Sure of what, Dr. Glenn?
Sure that none of the other patients have had that dream. That same horrible dream of that green thing.
Dream 9, Mrs. Gordon. Shall I put the sound on?
Oh, no, not necessary. We can see it if it appears. No, nothing here.
Dream 10, Miss Farnham.
No, nothing.
I don't think we'll find anything, Doctor. It must have been a freak, a coincidence.
Keep going.
Dream 11, Mr. Craig.
Dream 21.
Nothing there either.
Dream 22. Maybe you're right, Betty. I'm beginning to think myself.
Dr.
That...
Glendon! Dr. Glendon, look! There it is!
A green thing!
Dream 42, Mr. Bradley.
Turn off the sound. Turn it off. That's it again. A green thing. Four of them, Carly. Four dreams of that monstrous green thing.
Each one from a different patient?
And each one during the past week. Darling, there's something there. Something to make even a psychiatrist feel frightened. Darling, the patients weren't having a dream. They couldn't be. They had nothing in common but the fact that they're in this sanitarium. Why, even the nature of their illnesses are different.
Doctor, aren't you getting a little mixed up yourself?
Huh?
You saw those dreams. I saw them. And Betty saw them. I know it's incredible.
Listen,
but...
to have a dream means that you create that dream. You and nobody else.
You mean you think the patients didn't create those dreams? They're not their dreams?
There is such a thing as thought projection.
Mental telepathy?
Yeah.
Why should anyone want
to... Someone may have found out about the dream machine. Maybe jealousy, or grudge, or a hatred of psychiatry in general. There are many reasons. Well, what we've got to do is to find out where it's coming from. The patients must be protected.
How?
First, we've got to find out whether this telepathy is coming from inside or outside the sanitarium. Then we've got to track it down. I tell you, Carling... Whoever's trying this terror by mental telepathy isn't going to get away with it. I'm not going to stand by while a lifetime's work is destroyed by a campaign of terror against my patients. I'm going to institute protective measures at once.
Anything yet, Doctor?
Oh, I still have the Garda screen beamed on the area directly around the main building. I didn't expect to find anything so close, but I want to search every inch of the grounds.
You still feel whoever it is on the grounds?
Can't be sure of anything, except that I'm convinced that the staff is loyal And I have a hunch that whoever is transmitting these thought waves will want to be close enough to judge the results.
Shall I bring the patients down now, Dr. Glendon?
Oh, yes, Betty. Go get them, will you, please? It's just possible that they may be able to help us. They may have felt currents emanating from a certain direction.
I think the guarded screen has reached its range limit, Doctor. It's repeating itself.
All right, I'll give it wider focus. I'm going into the grounds now.
Wait, there's something. A figure on the screen.
Yeah, I see him.
He's carrying a club, a stick or something. Who is it, Doctor? Can you tell?
I don't want to alarm him. I'll signal the patrol corps.
But me. It's that red button on the wall, isn't it?
Oh, no, no calling. Never mind. That is one of the patrol corps. I can see his armband.
Too bad.
Well, I'll switch the machine to the north fringe.
There's another figure. Isn't that...
It isn't. We seem to be all guarded. Another member of the patrol corps. Well, let's hope the patients will be able to...
Here's Betty.
Doctor. Doctor.
She's alone.
Betty, where are the patients?
They're gone, Doctor.
What?
They've disappeared. And a fifth patient has just begun screaming in his room, the green thing, the green thing. Four, all accounted for, Doctor. The four that are missing would make 68. That's how many patients we have.
I checked the nurses, eight besides Betty. And they're all here.
And the patrol corps have checked the rest of the staff. And no one has left the grounds except the four patients. They must have left of their own free will.
Unless somebody got in and carried them off.
No, no. No jetmobiles and no jet ships have been in the vicinity between the time the patients were last reported and now. The patrol corps will vouch for that.
Here's the village.
Linfield. It's the only village for 100 miles, but it's a backwoods country village. Quaint place, never kept up to the times. Now, I doubt that they have any jetmobiles in Linfield, much less jet ships.
But you can arrange for transportation there, can't you?
The inn? Why, that's where they go. Why didn't I think of that before? It's the center of the village, the gossip spot. If the patients entered town at all, news of them would spread to the inn. Betty, you take charge here. Carling and I are going to Linfield.
How long will you be gone, Doctor?
Until we find them. Or learn they're no longer alive.
Sorry I can't help you none, Doctor. I ain't seen no strangers, spoke to no strangers, you heard of no strangers.
Well, how about transportation, jetmobiles, or jet ships?
We ain't put in any calls for jetmobile service nigh on to 2 months. Not since Miss Jennings busted her leg and we had to send her to the hospital in the city.
Oh.
Jet ships? Why, last time one of them flaming monsters landed here, we nearly had a riot in Linfield. Darn fools all thought was invasion from Mars.
Just ran a wild goose chase, Doctor.
Yeah, so it seems. Well, thanks anyhow, Mr. Barker. You've been very helpful.
Horse, he says. The blasted idiot believes in horse.
I do. Everyone knows there's ghosts everywhere.
Idiot, there's no such thing as ghosts.
There are ghosts. There are ghosts in every village and town.
Quiet down, you boys. You'll be giving my inn a bad reputation off.
Hey, there's the doctor. Dr. Glendon talking to Mr. Barker. I put it up to him now. What'd you say, Doc? There's no such thing as haunts, ghosts, either now. Hey, you tell my ignorant friend.
Well, I wasn't listening very carefully. But if it's ghosts you're talking about, well, there's never been any scientific evidence that they exist.
Haunts don't exist. That's what you're trying to say, ain't it, Doc?
Now, that's right. Oh, come on, Carling. Let's get out of here.
Hey, there ain't no ghosts. This Doc's an educated man. He knows.
Yeah.
Then suppose you tell me what that green thing was floating around down near the cave. And we ain't the only one who's seen it. Right, boys?
A green thing? Where? What are these caves?
Right down the river. Why, Doc? You ain't going there. Nighttime now.
Carling, will you risk it?
I've got my ray gun.
Doc, you're crazy. I'm telling you there's a haunt.
Why, there ain't a man in this whole village go with you tonight.
Well,
if it's only a ghost, you needn't worry. But if we're not out of those caves by dawn, you better come for us. It won't be a ghost that's holding us. This must be the right cave, Carling. The only one with a brush trampled down in front of it.
Fury is a tomb in here.
Shh, quiet, quiet. I don't hear anything.
Well, we just don't want to be taken by surprise. Have to be as quiet as possible. All right, come on. Hey, what's that? Carling, where are you? Carling, are you all right?
Coming for me. The green thing. It's
blind.
It's terrible.
No, there's nothing there. You're on the floor of the cave, but there's no one near you. Nothing. He's asleep. He's having the dream. That same dream.
Dream.
Come on, Carling. Come on, snap out of it, Carling. It's only a dream. Only a dream.
Come in.
I feel dizzy. Tired. What's the matter with me? I'm falling asleep. No, I won't. I won't let myself.
Dr. Glendon. I am calling you. You must come with me.
No, I won't. I'll fight you. I'll fight you.
Come with me, Dr. Glendon. I control you now.
Oh, close! No! It's just a dream. I know it's a dream. I'm not going to wake up. I'm going to wake up.
Conquered the green thing.
Did you conquer me, Dr. Glendon?
I can't be. Standing over me, the pink eyes and long stalks, the claws, the green thing.
In here, Dr. Glendon, into this rough chamber. And you, Mr. Carling, don't worry. You won't fall. My will is controlling you.
My patients. Over there in the corner. Walt, Bradley, Summers, Gordon. Now, what have you done to them? Summers, are you all right? Bradley, this is Dr. Glendon, your doctor. What's the matter? Gardner! Bradley!
Nothing is the matter with them. They just don't understand you anymore. They are attuned only to Venusian thought waves. They are Venusians now.
Venusians? You're from the planet Venus?
That is right. For a long time, we have been observing your Earth, your resources, and your remarkable technology. But we did not know how to conquer you. For we of Venus have no strength or physical dexterity. Only mental power.
You shouldn't have told me that. I'm going to beat that horrible body of yours to a pulpy green mess.
You hit only air, didn't you? I'm growing tired of this game. Stop. I will
that your arms obey me and not you.
I can't move them. Colin, help me!
Do not be foolish again, and I will return their motion.
You hypnotized my patience the same way, didn't you? Are those dreams...
a little more complicated than what you earthlings call hypnosis. But it is mind control. I have come to Earth to prove to my planet that this is the way to conquer your Earth. We will control the minds of its inhabitants and thereby control their strength, their physical dexterity. I began on your patients first because their minds are more easily controlled.
What do you want of them?
Their bodies. They can perform physical acts that I cannot. With their bodies, we Venusians can continue our investigation of your planet at close range. And we can also study the structure of the Earthling when I bring them back with me.
Bring them back? To Venus?
Do not worry, my dear doctor. I shall not separate them from you. I will also take you and your companion with me to Venus as rare prizes. Earthling, bind these two men.
No, no, don't do it, man. I'm your friend, your doctor. No, let me go. You shot the monster.
Forgot about me. Maybe you didn't know the Earthlings had weapons too, like ray guns.
Well, why doesn't he fall? He's still standing.
Did you really think you could hurt me with that? Your death rays have no effect on my body. Drop your weapon. Find them, men.
I'll shoot them. I'll kill you, slave!
You cannot. But if you could, I would not care. There are millions more to choose from. You can kill yourselves, too. You are replaceable, except to yourselves. You are trapped. Your only escape is death.
Walls, they're crumbling. The explosion of your ray gun, Carling. You've loosened the rocks. It's a cave-in. We'll be buried alive.
Quiet, quick. Quiet,
quiet. Grab the patients before the green thing controls us again. They can follow us. It's our only chance.
There's the mouth of the cave.
Hurry, Doctor. It's locked. The rocks have fallen here, too.
There's one big one just at the mouth. We can move that one. I think we can make it.
All right, help me, Doctor. I'll get the patients too.
All right, come on, men. Here. Pull! Pull! All right. You can squeeze through now. You go first, Doctor. Pull the patients after you.
All right. All right, I'm out. Now, Rolf, come on. That's it. All right, Bradley, you next. Come on. That's the way. All right, you, Summers.
Hurry, Doctor.
Quick, now, come on. All right, Gardner, quick.
You,
all right. It's right there. All right, now you, Carling.
I can make it.
Help.
Good.
Help me. Earthlings. I cannot escape.
He can't squeeze through. He has no physical strength.
Earthlings. Earthlings. Come to me.
Patience. They're going to him. Still have some power. Come on, Carling, quick. Before they release him, help me shove this rock over the opening. Come on, quick. There we go. Thank goodness. Hey, what's that? Look out! Step back!
It collapsed. The entire cave fell in.
We were just in time.
Yes, Carling. In time to save Earth from the horror of green things.
Next week, an incredible story about a man of science who dared tamper with the secret of human life. Be sure to listen to That Which Lived in a Head of Steel. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winosan Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Lon Clark played Clinton, Joseph Julian was Carling, Elster Sandergaard was Miss Connors, Gilbert Mack was Rolf, John Griggs was Summers, and Henry Morrell was the Green Thing. The script was written by Edgar Marmon. The music was composed by Elliot Jacoby, the orchestra conducted by Emerson Buckley. Sound, Walt Shaver and Adrian Penner. Engineer, Bob Albrecht. This is Ken Moore. With communist propaganda throughout the world attempting to depict the United States as a nation of warmongers and imperialists, our victory in the war of ideas demands that we demonstrate romantically that our true aims are liberty and friendship.
Kids! Now that was the scariest, huh? 2000 Plus! I bet when you first heard the title and wondered what the green thing was, you guessed it's not what it was, huh? But who knows? Maybe originally that's what it was. Then it really would have been all in his head until he blew it out, that is. Just think of the questions that would have left. Who knows? Why was it running? Afraid of the booger man? Maybe it was better the way it was. Then you got to feature those giant alien eyeballs, which you could call flying saucer eyes, huh? No wonder he was so irritated when he caved in under pressure, huh? You know, it's too bad the alien wasn't covered with moles, too. Then maybe he could have dug himself out, huh? I bet even if he could have scratched his way out, he would have been in trouble for breaking the claw, huh? Then he would have been hot, huh? Not that it ever gets cool on Venus. I hear even when the sun sets, Mercury rises. Now the ones I really worry about are the patients. I hope they were all fully covered with dirt and rock, that is, huh? Well, kids, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is a count saying, the next time you're cornered by a giant alien from Venus with eyes on long stalks, just cut them off. Make the Venetian blind, huh?
Device to you until next week.
About now, it's just no.